Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly conversation on New York State government and politics. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is New York State Assemblyman Jim Todisco, not only a great Republican legislator, but a man who's comfortable on the basketball court, a Republican who represents New York's 112th district. Welcome back, my old friend, Assemblyman Todisco.
Well, I want to be your friend. I don't want to be your old friend, but I am getting up there. But you're getting younger and I'm getting older.
Well, that's probably true.
Dr. Alan Chartok, good to be with you.
You are my old friend, and I just love having you here because you've had such an interesting career and you've come up with great ideas, which the Democrats inevitably, when they get around to it, steal from you and pretend that they're their own.
You can't have pride in an authorship when you're in the minority. It's the character, content, and quality of your ideas. And I think we've had some pretty good ones. I think the biggest issue and the best ideas I've had in many, many years relate to what Preet Bharara has been talking about, and that is we're not going to get much done about anything whether we solve this ethics problem. And we got to get the trust and the respect and bring dignity and integrity back to our New York State legislature.
I've noticed that the governor seems to be very different these days than he was like a year ago. Seems to be a new, nicer, easier model. In fact, in a recent column I wrote that he had had a characterectomy. And I wondered whether that wasn't as a result of the scare that he went through with Bharara.
Well, I think that's a part of it. Maybe the nice weather has something to do with it. We didn't have much of a winter, and that always impacts you. We got a lot of sun today. I think it's a record out there, close to 70 degrees.
That's both either good or bad, right?
It could be. I know those ski people didn't do too well.
I'm not worried about the ski people. I'm worried about the earth burning up.
That's true. The global warming, there could be something to it, and there probably really is. Well, the fact of the matter is it's tough to tell whether he's better off in terms of his personality and more friendly. One of the last times I responded to what he had to say was when he said many of us, unfortunately, should get on a bus and leave the state of New York if we had maybe some different ideology than he had. And if you're a representative, you can disagree. We disagree on I'm sure, a lot of issues, but we
sure
do agree
right.
on a lot of issues also. But you don't have to be disagreeable to disagree. The fact of the matter is we don't see him a lot. I think the last time he had a press conference, it was months ago or days ago, that and he doesn't show up and answer a lot of questions. He speaks off the cuff about a lot of things when he's talking about a press conference for other than taking questions. But he's an interesting guy. I served with his father. Now I serve with him. If I serve with his daughter, maybe time to consider retirement. But that's a long way off. You know that.
He is going to be, of course, people say we're not sure yet, but I'm sure he's going to run for a third term because they don't really have any place to go. So my question to you is, do you think he will? And number two, could he be beat?
Oh, without question, I think he will, unless he is projecting something else. So, some people are thinking about the fact that Hillary Clinton may have a problem towards the end, before this campaign is really on its way to having votes taken in November in terms of that email problem. I'm not quite sure that's going to happen. And that the vice president may be available to take her place. And he's very friendly with Andrew Cuomo.
He is.
They had some press conference together about increasing wages, and he may be even looking at going higher aspirations right now. But if he doesn't do that, I'm pretty sure he's planning on running for a third term.
Well,
a third term is doable.
The fact that he might want to run for vice president?
I think he might want to if Hillary Clinton decides that she's got some legal problems, or the FBI and the legal system decide she has some serious legal problems. I'm not sure that's going to be the case, but there's speculation.
Well, Jim Todisco, if you were running for president, would you really want Andrew Cuomo standing behind you? You know, he's a pretty aggressive fellow.
If you could win New York, definitely. But usually a Democrat can win New York
sure.
at a presidential level. So
right.
in that sense, you're right. But I think he made some friends out in Washington. I'm not sure he's made a lot of friends in New York State, because last time he lost just about every county in upstate New York except for Albany. I think he still won Albany in the capital region.
I think he won Buffalo, too.
In Buffalo, too? Well,
yeah.
That was the billions of dollars he gave to Buffalo.
Right.
It was a costly election out there for him in that sense. And that's one of the issues that I'm working on right now, that truth in spending bill that I put forward.
Let's talk about that. What is the plan?
Well, Preet Bharara, as I said the two most powerful assets the Speaker of our House, and to be fair, the Majority Leader, Dean Skelos, of the Senate had, was unbridled power, first of all, and secondly, a total lack of oversight, transparency, and policing by us who were supposed to be representatives and be a part of the process. I don't have to tell you, Alan, you know the way the legislature works. It is more of a dictatorship and a kingship and less of a real representative democracy. And basically what I'm calling for, you know, 1776, we had a revolution, created the greatest nation in the world based on a foundation of freedom and liberty. We need a rank and file member revolution. They've got to take back, disperse some of that power back to themselves, because unbridled power can't continue for one person in the Senate and one person in the Assembly. If you have 150 members in the Assembly and 63 members of the Senate, if you have overwhelming support for a piece of legislation, a speaker or majority leader in a representative democracy shouldn't stop it from coming to the floor for a discussion, a debate, and a vote. But that happens every single day in our government, in both the Senate and the Assembly. What this bill says, we take back that power. With 76 sponsors on a piece of legislation, which is the majority, and we're a majority rule, you know, representative democracy, representing a majority of people of the state of New York, 76 members. That bill, if this bill passes here, would come to the floor, not to have to pass, for a discussion, a debate, and an up or down vote. 32 in the Senate, it would come to the floor, and a speaker couldn't stop it. If my colleagues are serious about going before their voters in a re-election and asking them to continue to be their public servant, they should be a public servant and be a representative. They should be able, collectively, if majority Republicans and Democrats say, hey, there's 76 of us, there's a majority. You know, last year, Mr. Hastie, the new Speaker of the Assembly, put forth a reform caucus. It's been over a year right now. You can hear the crickets chirping. That's the only thing you've gotten out of them, that one reform. We put 13 reforms, like pension loss if you have a family, term limits for a leader, because the unbridled power was developed over 20 years by the Speaker and the Majority Leader. Over time, they had those slush fund areas. This Truth in Spending bill, which is the second bill I want to tell you about for reform, says no longer would there be those slush funds and money. You saw the Times Union editorialized in support of it. We had five good government groups stand with me at a press conference and say, we need to know that, have the transparency, and we need to have oversight and policing to know where these bundles of money are. Three men should meet in a room, and the two leaders and the governor come out and say, each of us has $3 or $4 billion to spend the way we should spend without any oversight or discussion from rank and file members. That's totally unacceptable. This bill, Truth in Spending, would change that. Websites would indicate what member, if it's a leader or any other member. Pedro Espada, what did he do? When he became the majority leader, took a whole bunch of funds, put it in non-for-profits, shuffled it through the non-for-profits to his relatives and to himself. He's incarcerated now. There's about 20 individuals incarcerated. Shortly, the Speaker of the House and the majority leader will be incarcerated. This bill says on the Assembly website, the Senate website, the Attorney General's website, the Comptroller's website, there'd be affidavits that have to be signed. Everybody would know. Most importantly, legislators, the public, but also law enforcement and our attorney general would know where this money is, why you've got that money, who it's going to be given to. And this is another important part of this. 5-year look back. If you give money to an individual or an organization, non-for-profit or any, and they donated to you over 5 years back coming forward, $4,000 or more, that has to be on the website. You can still get the funding if you can make the case for it. But we don't want to connect the dots sometime when these dots add up to a full sentence in a full line. So we've got Truth in Spending in the spirit of 76. I think that would go a long way for transparency. You know, it's said that when sunlight comes in, representative democracy grows and gets stronger.
And you'd be saying all of
this. Darkness, it dies.
And Jim Tedisco, you'd be saying all of this if you were in the majority.
Absolutely.
Obviously you can throw rocks at them when you're in the minority.
Absolutely.
Right?
And the public has to trust individuals who stand up for reforms, because some of my colleagues on the other side are on these bills. We have 7 on one bill, I think 4 or 5 on the other bill. And we have some of my Democratic colleagues, which I know would like to change the system. None of us are against providing initiatives for local governments. We want to change the way that money is allocated and the transparency for that. And I don't think anybody should be afraid to do that, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, whether you're in the majority or the minority. Those five good government groups, NYPIRG, League of Women Voters, Dady, Citizens Union, all these good government groups are supporting this. And usually you don't get all five of them to support a piece of legislation. Empire Center, Common Cause, they're all supporting this, stood behind me. And historically, they're more supportive of the progressive, more liberal side, but they understand that this is important to have this truth in spending in the 76, spirit of 76.
Well, now, when Preparar did us the honor of coming to talk with our radio station, and we did a special presentation with him and the U.S. attorney, for those few who don't know who he is, and he said, well, the main thing here is that there are enablers.
That's
and
it.
If nobody does anything, you're enabling them. Yep. So I truly believe that. And the question I have is, when you see the assembly say, okay, we want reform, as you said, and who do they get as the speaker? The boss of the Bronx.
Right.
Who becomes the boss?
Meet the new boss, same as the old boss.
The boss. The boss of the Bronx now becomes the boss of the assembly.
Well, here's the point, and I made this on the floor. I'm not saying to you or anybody listening right now something I didn't say on the floor of the New York State Legislature. I pointed to my friends in the majority in our house, and I said, talked about the majority in the other house. When the speaker in the majority leader of the Senate finally got convicted, they all pointed at him and say, those are the guys who are powerful. They gamed the system. They failed in their oath of office. Now, when they pointed that finger, it really curled around.
You're talking about Skelos and Silver.
And Silver. Yeah. When they pointed that finger, it curled around and pointed right back at both majorities. You know why? Because the people listening, the voters, the taxpayers, didn't give that unbridled power to those leaders. Alan, you and I know who gave it to him. The majority members gave the powers to those majority leader and the speaker, and they can take that power back if they choose to. When he said they're enablers, he was absolutely right. If they wanted to change that, Spirit of 76 would be the way to do it. If 76 of their members are our you know who the most frustrated group of elected officials are? The majorities in both houses. They can't get their bills to the floor past the speaker in many instances, okay? And it shouldn't be one person is the king of each house. That's not what people vote for. They vote for us to be a representative. So Preparar, the federal prosecutor who you talked about, said that if we saw something, we should have said something. Well, when I did this Spirit of 76 and this Truth in Spending bill, I said, federal prosecutor, if I did see something, I would have said something. But these are in the shadows, these clumps of money. They're hidden in the budget. Nobody takes credit for them until they're already allocated. They're out the door. And you have to be a forensic budget investigator to find this money. It's hidden so deeply in the budget. This bill, Truth in Spending bill, would shine the light so bright that everybody's going to know where the money is. And they're going to think twice. Not about providing funding for their communities and for important initiatives, but about doing it in the right and appropriate way with transparency and not stealing taxpayers' dollars and gaming the system and failing in their oath of office. So I think Democrats and Republicans should really want this on both sides, the majority and minority, because if we have nothing to hide, we shouldn't be ashamed of the initiatives and the funding. This is all taxpayer dollars. They deserve something back. They don't deserve to be the number one taxed property taxes in the nation, or number three, we've talked about this before, in Tax Freedom Day. You know, only New Jersey and Connecticut take longer to take a dollar home from work. You and I and everybody in the state of New York who works don't take a dollar home to pay their mortgage or send their kids to college until the middle of May. Only New Jersey and Connecticut take more tax dollars out. That's almost over five months we pay taxes before we take a dollar home. This past week, you saw what we're number one in, another number one that we shouldn't be proud of, the worst state in the nation to retire in. It makes you want to keep working. We shouldn't be looked upon as the worst state in the
nation.
Keep
working or go to Florida.
Well, that's something I'd hate to see people, because we got a brain drain. We got kids getting great educations who get a good education. They leave the state of New York because taxes are so high. They see their parents can't afford, they've paid their mortgage up. They can't afford to pay their taxes right now. So I think we've got to be reasonable with mandates, regulations, and some of our taxes. I'm not opposed to some taxes. You know, we have to provide the services. Today we had a rally. It's Chips Day in New York State. Consolidated Highway Improvement Program. We give $500 million, and most appropriately, to local municipalities to take care of their roads and bridges. The problem is we could be sending good money after bad. You know why? You've seen what's happened in Troy. The road collapsed. Why did it collapse? Not because the road was bad, the underground infrastructure. We've got to put money into our sewer, our waterways, our sanitary sewers, our storm sewers, because if you build a beautiful road, oh, it could be golden. But if your sewers underneath collapse, you've got to do that road work all over again. So you might have seen myself and some of my colleagues put forth what's called the SWAP program, Safe Water Infrastructure Action Program. Take a 5% of that economic development money, because safe environment and strong infrastructure relates to the economy and being safe. If you don't have good roads and bridges, you're not going to get small businesses to come here and expand and grow and create jobs or have business development or housing development. With this SWAP program, we take 5% of the $2.5 billion for economic development. That'd be $125 million, and we put it for sewer and raw and sanitary sewers and waterways. So when we put those roads down, we know that the structure underneath is going to hold them up. So,
okay, Jim Tedisco, I want to ask you a question. You're a Republican. You're the former minority leader of the state assembly, which a yeoman service you did for quite a while. We are now having an incredible Republican primary with a lot of different candidates.
It's called incredible,
yeah. You got Trump. You got, you know, Cruz and, you know,
Rubio,
several other guys. So Kasich. So where are you, sir?
Well, I'm watching the debates. I'm watching the primaries.
Come on.
I'm listening to the public. And the one thing I've heard from everybody right now who is looking at these debates is that they're mad, they're angry, they're frustrated. But a part of that is I think they're now confused. Because to a great extent, they think, let's just throw out everybody. Don't look at the character, the content, and quality of the work that somebody's done as a public servant. When you get that mad, you have a tendency to reach out for anything. And that can be dangerous, Alan, as you know. The only reason to vote for anybody, if they've been a public servant or not, is the character, content, and quality of their agenda, how they can communicate it, how they can get it done, what they've gotten done under the most difficult of circumstances.
This sounds very evasive, Jim Tedisco.
Well, I didn't answer your question.
I'm not playing basketball.
And the answer to my question is this. I'm not going to tell the voters of my district who they should pick to be
their
Republican.
Well, but you're a leader. You're supposed to tell them.
Well, I'm a leader in a representative democracy. That's why I want them to pick their own candidate for the presidency. And I'm not ready to decide on somebody. You know, as far as Donald Trump goes, he's brought important issues to the forefront, okay? You got to talk about immigration. You got to talk about trade and how they're lowballing the pay for the workers they have in other countries, and they're stealing everything we make now. You look at it, even our flags are made in China, I think, sometimes. And we'd like to change that. But the difficulty is how you do that. I'm not sure you can just build a wall. I'm not sure you can just tariff people. But I got to give him credit for bringing these issues to the forefront and for people deciding, well, what is your answer to this, both Democrats and Republicans? And I appreciate Bernie Sanders. You know, I don't support what he has to say, the reallocation of money in our society, a representative democracy, capitalistic society. I think we can do better for the middle class, but that's offering them more opportunities. We got a great safety net in our nation and in New York, and I love it. I think it's great to have a safety net. I think the role of government should be there to help to remove obstacles for each and every one of us so we can be everything we can be with the God-given talents we've been given, then get out of their way, knowing we're a compassionate society and we should be compassionate political parties. They're going to have people who have obstacles in front of them for the rest of their lives. We have to care for them. We have to provide programs for them. We have to be compassionate enough for them to provide assistance. The problem with our safety net in New York State, and I think it's starting to be that way across the nation, is people use that safety net to try to get across that bridge to a better economy where we have more opportunities. We seem to be bereft of opportunities in many instances when they get across that bridge, and they look back and say, can you give me more help? So we build a bigger safety net. The answer is not always a bigger safety net. The answer is providing those opportunities in our economy. When we're number one in all these negative things, that doesn't help.
That's all nice. So let me ask you this. If Donald Trump is the candidate for president of the United States, will you, Jim Tedisco, vote for him?
The answer to that is dependent upon who the Democratic candidate is going to be.
Really? I'll you vote for the Democrat?
Well, I'd hate to say it, but in the past I have. I don't want to discuss it too much now because people might get angry at my own party.
I'll bet.
But sometimes there are just candidates who, they may label themselves a Democrat, but they think a lot like a Republican sometimes. Of course, there's Republicans who think a lot like Democrats sometimes. But I probably, in the long run, because I think the two choices left on the other side are going to be more dangerous than even Donald Trump.
Sure.
There's a possibility. He may just be buying into this anger that takes place and have a whole different idea of how he governs than how he runs for office.
That's always a risk,
and
right?
Many of us hope that he has a better outlook on governing than some of the things he says. You know, I don't think everybody supports everything he says,
right,
but that anger is there.
All right, gun to your head now. Gun to your head. Here's your choice. Cruz or Trump?
Oh, man. I'll support whichever one becomes the Republican candidate, probably.
Okay. Yeah. Who would be better for the Republican Party to run? Donald Trump, who's a deal maker, who will, you know, spend his money wisely, or a Cruz, who, when you think about it, is the most conservative man in the race?
Well, the thing about Cruz is they say, geez, they don't like him in the New York State Senate. Well, the public doesn't like the New York State Senate. So if the New York State Senate doesn't like him, that's not necessarily a negative right now. When Donald Trump says they hate him in the Senate, well, we want somebody who's standing up to those guys who are filibustering and doing and not doing the things that, you know, there's a conservative element out there, especially in a Republican primary. And I think they're happy with the way Cruz is reacting. They're happy in what they see, the outspokenness of Donald Trump. I think that's the value that they have right now.
Let me stop you because we're running out of time.
Sure.
Jim Tedisco, if in fact the New York State Senate is up for grabs, which we know it is, and the Republicans have been in control for quite a while with a little bit of a hiccup. So it would appear that if Hillary or Bernie are the candidates, it'll be a presidential election. They'll bring a lot of people out. The chances are the Senate might fall to the Democrats. What do you make of that?
Well, the other side of the shoe is also true. We're going to have a special election for Dean Skelos' seat.
Right.
That's a very important seat before the November election to keep the majority in Republican hands. And look, being honest, I think it's important to have a system of checks and balances. I think it's good that we have one side who's in the majority and maybe in the Senate, one side who's in the majority on the other side, because we can balance things off. And to tell you the truth, I think the governor likes that because he hasn't
really I agree with you completely.
So Donald Trump in that primary may bring out a lot of Republicans for that primary election for Dean Skelos' seat. No, the regular election for Dean Skelos' seat, which is a special election coming up, I believe it's in April. So in that sense, it's going to be helpful. In November, it depends upon what happens with that email situation for Hillary. I think that could impact her. And look, at the person who's getting the most young people out, which is very important, although she's getting African-Americans and minorities out, is Bernie Sanders right now. So she's taking a serious hit with those groups of young people that Barack Obama had help him and get out to help him win two elections in a row. They're not actually buying her right now. They're buying Bernie Sanders right now. If that continues, she may not get the numbers that Barack Obama got in the past.
Well, in your assembly district, there's an older fellow named Hugh Farley who's been there for a long, long, long time.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have been saying for years, well, when he goes, I believe he's in his 80s now, that Jim Tedisco will run for that Senate seat. But by the time you may run for it, there may not be a Republican Senate anymore.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I've been in the minority for many years right now, and I think I've done well. I've done well against the most powerful. Remember, Elliot Spitzer said he was an effing steamroller.
Oh,
he was
going
to roll over
me. Best thing that ever happened to you.
And I got in the face of, I didn't do it behind a press conference. I got in the face of the speaker when I was the minority leader, and he says he wasn't going to bring to the agenda property taxes. So I can work in the minority. Last year when I was endorsed by the Times Union, they said I illustrated that a minority member can be effective in getting legislation and important ideas through government because I got Proposition 2 on the ballot. You remember that, to go digital in New York State. We're saving millions of dollars. We're most effective we've ever been right now. We don't put ink-filled paper, tons of it, in landfills. We help the environment. That was historical.
That was a great move.
Yeah. But to say I wouldn't be interested, I'd love to be in the majority. I'd love to have it a little bit easier to get my ideas across and have a few of the numbers on my sides to help me with that. But I wake up every morning, love to go to work, whether I'm outnumbered 2-1 or not. They always double-team me in basketball, Dr. Shatag. Yep. And, you know, I average close to 30 points a game, so they never stopped me with the 2-1.
You were a high school star, weren't you?
Well, I scored 55 points in my last high school game. And now that's without a three-point shot. I think they should go back and see if my foot was behind the line in those videos and give me an extra point for every shot I made.
Well, we only have a second or two, but what do you think of the three-point shot? Do you think it's a good thing?
I think it's a good thing. It speeds up the game. It creates some
excitement. Also makes it fairer in terms of your height.
Well, yeah. A little guard who's quick and can do a step back. They got some great players who are quick out there with the Warriors. We saw Curry. He's an unbelievable. He's only 6'2.5", 6'3". He's unbelievable.
I'd take it in a minute.
Yeah, well, you have 6'8", 6'9", guys.
Yeah.
We're vertically challenged, you and I. But we're a small piece of leather, but we're well put together. We get the job done.
I love talking to Jim Tedisco, who is a great guy, a great friend. We don't always agree, as he said, but it's terrific that you show up and you talk to us, Jim. Our guest has been New York State Republican Assemblyman Jim Tedisco. I just want to thank you again, Jim, for being here.
Thanks for having me, and keep up the good program. We'd love to hear it.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.